This morning, I really want to just talk. It's not really a preach, but I want to talk because this morning I want to just share really some of the things that Holy Spirit, that God has been sharing with me, has been dealing with in my life. And hear this, God first has to speak into my life before I can release the word. And so what you hear this morning, this is not just directed at us as a body, but God has spoken, Holy Spirit is speaking those things to me. I am still on a learning curve. I haven't got it all together. I haven't got all the answers. But what I am doing is I'm positioning myself and being open to what Holy Spirit wants to say because I'm determined that I want to live a life in obedience and humility to Father God. Is anyone else with me? This morning, you know, I really want us to just engage. And, you know, we are people of spirit, and spirit is life. The word, it also says on the front of the door, over the door, that we are a Pentecostal church. And so this morning, I want to see something of that Pentecostal spirit, something of Holy Spirit stirring you, moving you this morning. I want to know that we are people who are alive in the building this morning. Because the Spirit has made us alive. Go with me, if you would, into Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. And we're going to read verses 5 through to verse 15. And, either in your physical or your electronic Bible. We should all have our Bibles. Let me see your Bibles. Fantastic. The word of God is the sword in the armory that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. And so, you know, we should always have the word with us. So Matthew chapter 10 then, reading from verse 5 through to verse 15. And this is where we read about Jesus sending out the 12 disciples. And likewise, God still sends us out today. The mission has not changed. We'll read it. Let's just read it. So, verse 5 then. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go gather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, cast out demons. You have received without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the laborer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart. As you enter the house, greet it. And if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. In other words, what Paul is telling us, or what Matthew is telling us here, is that it's possible for us to deposit something wherever we go. Because we are people who carry the presence of God. And so we're going to hear more about that later on. But and if the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet when you leave that house or town. Truly, I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. I don't know about you, but certainly, you know, I mean, I've been a student of Jesus for now some 38 years, nearly probably 40 years. And I have to be honest with you and say that it is only just recently I've always understood my relationship with God the Father. I've always understood my relationship with Jesus in terms of where he fits in and how I relate to him. But if I'm honest, then I haven't really understood my relationship with Holy Spirit, not until recently. And just recently, I've really been challenged by Holy Spirit to just spend time with him. We've heard it this morning already. Brad shared something of his devotion and the rhythm that he has in terms of his devotion. And likewise, Holy Spirit is doing exactly the same thing in my own life. One of the and listen, I'm just sharing with you what I believe God wants for you as well. I'm not sharing with you because I'm trying to look like some superhuman Christian, because I'm not. I am simply sharing with you what I have found to be true in terms of our relationship with Father God. And so one of the things that God has really challenged me about is he said, look, if you want, you know, we all talk about we want to see healings. We all talk about we want to see restoration. There in the text that we have just read in verse 7 and 8, it says that proclaim as you go, saying the kingdom of heaven is it at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. And all of us will say that we want to see those things. But I want to challenge you this morning. How many of you are actually prepared to do what it takes in order to see kingdom come? Because it doesn't just happen. It comes at a cost. And one of the things Holy Spirit has challenged me about, he said, look, Ian, if you want to see these things, then you need to be spending time with me and hearing what I'm saying. You need to give tune to your ear and listen to what I'm saying. And so one of the things that I've been doing over the last couple of months is I get up early in the morning only because that suits me. That's the type of person that I am. It suits the rhythm of who I am. So I get up in the mornings, you know, anywhere from about 4:30 in the morning, specifically to spend time with Holy Spirit. I have other times for prayer. But in those moments when I get up early in the morning and I spend a minimum of an hour listening for Holy Spirit. A minimum of an hour. I don't go before him with any agenda. I don't come with a list asking him to do this, to do that. But I sit in his presence and I wait and I listen. And I say, Holy Spirit, speak. You're welcome here. And I wait and see what Holy Spirit has to say. David said this, that one thing I have asked of the Lord, and I've shared this with you already because, you know, this is just what God is speaking to me about, and it's just all that I'm thinking about at the moment. David said in Psalm 27:4, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after. In other words, the thing I seek most, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon your beauty and to inquire of the Lord in his temple. And Holy Spirit really challenged me and said, what does it mean to dwell in my presence? All of us would say that we want to see those miraculous things, the deaf healed, the blind to see, the demons cast out. But are we really prepared to position ourselves in order that we can do the things that Jesus himself said we would do? Read it right there. In verses 7 and 8, he tells us that we will heal the sick, cast out demons. That's what he tells us we will do. How many of us are seeing those things in our lives? You see, Jesus goes on. He says that we will do even greater things. Wait, greater things. I'm not even doing the things you've told me that I'll be doing. The reality is, friends, is that we need to learn to do the same things before we'll do the greater things. We need to be doing the same things, the things that Jesus said we would do, before we can move on to the greater things. And I don't know about you, but all of us know that Holy Spirit dwells in each one of us. All of us, when we come to faith, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we make that decision for God, Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, immediately comes and makes his habitation in us. All of us have Holy Spirit in us. But how many of you know that Holy Spirit doesn't rest on everyone? Every single one of us has Holy Spirit in us, but not all of us has Holy Spirit resting on us. And there's a difference, because Holy Spirit in us is for our benefit, to change us, to conform us, to transform us into the likeness of Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit resting upon us is for other people's benefit, because we are carriers of his presence. And wherever we go, we should change the atmosphere or the environment into which we enter, because we are carriers of the presence. We do not receive or we do not get to the place where we can do greater things unless we are prepared to pay the cost. So I'm asking you again, are you prepared to pay the cost? Because I am. Because I'm fed up of church like this. And it's not just my experience. It's not just my experience. I'm speaking to other people, other church leaders, and they're having exactly the same experience. It wasn't that church was bad, but there is so much more that church can be. So much more. But are we prepared to do what it takes in order to achieve that? It's easy to sit back and say, I want all of that, but what are you doing? What are we prepared to do? What are we prepared to give up in order to receive the fullness that God himself says he wants to give us? David said, one thing I have desired, one thing above all else. Let me ask you, what's the one thing that you desire? And that's a stark question. That's Holy Spirit asked me the same thing. What is the one thing that you desire? And that's a sobering question. Because, you see, I know that I'm not like Solomon. That one thing where Solomon, what a great request Solomon made. Lord, give me wisdom greater than anyone else. What a great request. Give me wisdom. I'm not like David, who says, the one thing I want, the one thing I desire the most is to dwell in your presence. And so it's a sobering question when we have to answer, what is the one thing? If you could funnel everything, all your thoughts, all your desires, if you could funnel it into that one thing, what would it be? And that's important. It's important that we answer the question before God, before Holy Spirit, because whatever that answer is, it tells us what our heart is. It tells us where we are. It tells us where we're living. It tells us where we are dwelling. What is the one thing that we desire? The thing that is most important. I think for David, we understand. I mean, Paul in Acts 12 reminds us, or Acts 13, 22, he reminds us that David was a man after God's own heart. And maybe that's why David was able to say, Lord, just one thing I ask, just one thing I desire above all else is that I might dwell in your presence to behold your glory all the days of my life. I want my heart to be a heart that is after God. I want my heart, I want my life to be lived in humility and submission to God. Listen, I am not a superhuman. It's hard getting up early in the morning. I'm quite good. I have a good body clock, so I don't have to set an alarm. I just wake up. And it's hard. But I have asked myself the question, what is important? And for me, what is important is my relationship with God through Holy Spirit. I know that I am not going to see the things that Jesus himself speaks about unless I'm prepared to offer some sort of sacrifice in order, you know, in terms of putting in some time. Listen, the reality is that most of the time, when we come before God, and maybe you're one of them, when we come to God, we're very quick to want to hear him speak. And we're very quick to want to listen. We want God to speak. We want to hear him. But it doesn't work like that, because sometimes there is a waiting. The scriptures talk about dwelling, abiding, staying, standing, resting. Sometimes in order to receive what God wants to pour out and give us, there is a waiting time. I have a friend, for the sake of argument, we'll call him Steve, probably because his name is Steve anyway. But I have a friend, Steve, and whenever I have a conversation or prepare to have a conversation with him, I look at my watch and I think about how much time do I have. Because I know when I get on the phone to Steve, that's a two-hour conversation. I'm counting the cost. I'm thinking, have I got time to hear what he's got to say? And it's exactly the same, friends, in our relationship with Father God. We cannot just rush into his presence. We cannot just come before him expecting him to speak when we want him to speak, when we want to hear from him, if we're not prepared to sit and to wait. There is a waiting. And so what are you prepared to do? You see, Jesus, I've said this already, Jesus doesn't call us to try him. Jesus calls us to walk with him and to stay. He doesn't say, just try me and see if you like me, see how it all works out. He invites us to walk with him. He invites us to stay in his presence. John 15 talks about abiding in him. And so there's a cost. There's a cost. If we're going to do these greater things, if we're even going to do the same things, we need to be prepared to do what it takes. And sometimes, friends, there is a waiting. There is a waiting. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it's abiding in the vine, neither will you unless you abide in me. It's important, friends, that we cultivate our relationship with Holy Spirit. I don't know what your thoughts are on Holy Spirit. Maybe he is just someone that you know he's helpful, but you don't actually have relationship with him. You know about God the Father, you know about Jesus, but what about Holy Spirit? We're supposed to be Pentecostals, friends. We're supposed to be Pentecostals, but what about Holy Spirit? We need to cultivate relationship with him as well. He's not just some sideline. Listen, when Jesus came to this earth, Jesus was fully man and he was fully God. Everything that Jesus did, he did as fully man. He was still fully God, but hear this, but he did everything that he did as fully man. That's important. Why? Because if Jesus did everything that he did on earth as fully God, that would give us an excuse to sit back and say, well, I can't do this. You know, we just become spectators and we watch everything that God is doing, but it's always out of reach. I can't possibly do that. But Jesus did everything that he did as fully man. In other words, he restrained his divine ability and worked out of being flesh. That's important, because what that does is it does not allow us to stay as we are. Because when we look at Jesus, we can see that when we choose to live a life in humility and submission before God, we can do exactly the things he says we can do. We are not spectators. God, by his Holy Spirit, comes to empower us. And it's important as well, although having said that Jesus was fully man and fully God, yes, he worked, you know, fully in the flesh and set aside his divinity, but he did that with two very clear and very strict conditions. One was that he was enabled by the Holy Spirit. The second was that he was without sin. You see, Jesus, as a man, could not have done the things he did unless he was enabled by and empowered by Holy Spirit. And it's exactly the same for us. We need to cultivate relationship with Holy Spirit in order that he who transforms us, conforms us, and shapes us into the image of Christ can do his work in us. But it requires that we humble ourselves. 1 Peter 5:6 reminds us, "Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that at the proper time he may raise you up." I describe humility simply as this. It's simply recognizing our need of God. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. Recognizing our need and our dependency upon God. You see, we have to be prepared to wait. We shouldn't be too quick to want God to speak so that we can move on to the next thing. In Judges, we read about one of the judges, a minor judge. I don't suppose any of them were minor, but we read about one of the judges, Ehud, a left-handed swordsman. And in the account we read, it tells us that he went into the king of Eglon on the pretense of bringing tribute to him. So he got a private audience with King Eglon, and we're told then that Ehud then drew his sword and stabbed. Is that what you call it? Stabbed? Do you stab someone with a sword? You do, don't you? Do you stab someone with a sword? Yeah. Stabbed him with a sword, drove it in the flesh. It says Eglon was so fat, it says that the fat closed in around the hilt. Can you imagine that? Or perhaps don't imagine that. But it says this. Why I mention that is because in Judges 3:25, you find, I love this verse. It says this, of the gods then who were positioned outside of King Eglon's room, it says, they waited until the point of embarrassment. Other translations say they waited a very long time until they were embarrassed. Again, other translations, they waited until it would have been shameful to wait any longer. We need to have moments like that in our relationship with Father God. We need to have moments like that in our relationship with Holy Spirit. We need to have these moments where it seems that if we wait any longer, it becomes embarrassing. Do you know what I'm talking about? You have moments, don't you, in your life where you're with someone, maybe having a conversation with someone, and you don't really know much about them, and you're trying to keep the conversation going, and you run out of things to say, and there's this awkward silence. And you're thinking, what can I say next? What can I do next to keep this conversation going? An embarrassing silence. But actually, I believe that when we come before God, when we come into God's presence, when we seek him, we should have more of those embarrassing moments. Those moments where practicality and life tells us, I haven't got time to stay here. I need to go and do this. But actually, because you are determined, because we are determined to hear from God, we wait. We wait just that little bit longer. And I don't know how long that is. Only you know that. But we need, I want to suggest, to have more of those embarrassingly long times in his presence. We used to sing a song. Some of you will know it. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. You know that one? And the reality is that some students of Jesus, some people would love to do that. Just sing all the time, do nothing else but just sing of the love of God. Some Christians, you know, some students of Jesus would just love to just stay in his presence all the time. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But I want to say that there's more to our walk than just staying in the presence or staying, when I say staying in the presence, we need to be mindful, we need to be conscious of his presence all the time. We need to be carriers of his presence, but that doesn't mean we just sit around on our backs, you know, or on a beanbag or whatever, just wallowing, oh, Lord, it's good to be in your presence. Oh, it's wonderful, Lord God. Why do I say that? Because if we look in the scriptures, we have that account, you remember, of Jesus and the transfiguration. When Jesus took three of his closest friends, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain. And there up the mountain, they saw Jesus in all his glory. So he cast off, if you like, the earthly constraints. And in that moment, they saw Jesus in all of his divine glory. And what did Peter say? Peter said, Lord, we could stay here forever. Lord, let me build a tabernacle, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses. He said, oh, I could stay here forever. And that might seem like a good thing to do, but Jesus actually rebuked Peter. Because it's no good just staying in the presence if we are not in the world, because we're called to be carriers of the presence. And as I said earlier, the purpose of being carriers of the presence is that wherever we go, we influence our environment and our atmospheres. When we read that account, the first thing we read when Jesus came off the mountain is that he encountered a young boy, a demon-possessed boy, who the demon kept throwing into the fire. What a challenge! Straight after the transfiguration, straight after Jesus revealing his glory, I could sing of your love forever. But instead, Jesus came off the mountain and straight away he was engaged. He was, in the throes of daily life. And he could do that because he carried the presence. Again, in that same account, when you read that account, you read it where it says, we brought this boy to your disciples, but they couldn't cast out the demon. Why not? And Jesus rebuked them for that. You see, the purpose of the presence, the purpose of having Holy Spirit at work in us and through us is so that we can affect our environments and our atmospheres. Change the circumstances. You know, we should be those sorts of people that when we walk into a room, people say of us, I don't know what it is, but something changed when you came into the room. Because of the presence. We are called to be carriers of the presence. I said right at the very beginning that this might be Halloween, and I don't know how you're going to deal with today, you know, the evening when the darkness comes. Are you one of those that you cower behind the door and you hope that no one knows that you're in? I know, I've seen you. But the Bible tells us this. First of all, what the Bible tells us is that darkness only exists with the absence of light. The Bible also tells us that we are children of the light, and therefore, as carriers of God's presence, as carriers of the Holy Spirit, wherever we are, there shouldn't be any darkness. In fact, Jesus says, "Let your light shine." He says, "Let your light shine." If you want to know how to deal with the darkness, if you want to know how to deal with the powers, the principalities that are at work in this world, it's not that you look to pick a fight with them. That's another story. You know, that we have believers who, you know, look for demons in everything, darkness in everything, and they're fighting, you know, "I bind, I loose, I this and that." Listen, if you want to know how to overcome the powers of darkness, the powers and principalities, just shine your light. That's all Jesus tells us to do. You see, there are too many believers in the world today who spend too much time looking at the devil, looking at the powers and principalities, the opposition, the challenges. They spend too much time focusing on those things instead of focusing on the one who is able to overcome, Jesus. Let me put it again a different way. I like watches. I have a number of watches. I don't know what it is, it's just me and time, but I have a number of watches. A good watchmaker or a good jeweler, they can tell the difference between a genuine item and a fake item. But here's the deal. They don't spend their time studying fake watches. They spend their time looking at the real thing. And because they know the real thing, they can identify the fake. And it's exactly the same in the kingdom. Friends, we don't spend your time, listen, don't spend your time arguing with the devil. Don't come against every power and principality. If you want to overcome those things, friends, spend your time looking at the one who is able to overcome, and his name is Jesus. If you want to know what's real and what isn't, spend your time looking at Jesus and him only. It says there in the text about the transfiguration, in fact, at the end, it says that when Jesus again clothed himself in human form, it says the disciples found themselves looking at Jesus only. He's the one who matters. Spend your time, focus on him, focus on things of the kingdom, focus on Holy Spirit. Make time to cultivate a relationship so that you know the authentic voice of Holy Spirit. That's why it's important to spend time in his presence. Because what I'm doing is I'm learning to hear his voice. I'm learning to know him so that I don't have to spend time with the things that are of no consequence. But it doesn't just come. There's a cost. And we have to be prepared to pay the cost. So again, I'm asking every single one of you, are you prepared to pay the cost? And don't just roll it off, you know, off in your thinking and say, "Of course I am," and not do anything about it. You see, you can tell what's important to someone by the way that they live their lives. And as I've said, for me, spending time with God, getting to know his voice, being in his presence is far more important than sleep. I just want to know him, that's all. I just want to know him, not because of what he can give me, not because of what I can get, but I just want to know him because of who he is. That's all there is to it. Everything else follows. Get to know him. Get to understand and sense his presence. Again, we know Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha, you know, when Jesus went to their house, and Jesus said to Mary and Martha, after they thought that he'd arrived there late, Jesus said, "But few things are needed, or indeed only one." Again, there is only one thing worth being concerned about. Only one thing is necessary. And that's spending time at the feet of Jesus, spending time in the presence of God. One thing I have asked, that which I desire most, that I might dwell in the presence of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon your beauty, to inquire in the temple of the Lord. What one thing do you desire this morning? Team, would you come back onto the platform, please? Again, we're reminded the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking food and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you want kingdom, if you want to see kingdom come, then we need to know the joy of Holy Spirit. We need to know what it is to abide in His presence. Listen, I'm not trying to make you feel bad in any way. If you don't do this stuff, I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I'm simply sharing with you what I believe God wants for all of us. It's what Father God wants for every single one of us. He doesn't want it just for the few, but He wants it for all of us. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. And as we stand, I want you to do something. I want you to begin to speak out, to verbalize your love for God. Just begin to speak it out. Father, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Lord, I want to see your glory. Begin to speak it out right where you are. Just speak of your love. Don't ask Him for anything. Just declare His greatness, His majesty, His splendor. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said this. He said, "You are hindered, you are constrained by your affections." And I don't want any of us this morning to be constrained in any way. If we love God, if we want to deepen our relationship with Him, then look, this is not a time to be constrained in our affections. We need to just speak it out. Tell Him of our love. Tell Him of His goodness, His faithfulness, His greatness, His mercy, His grace. Thank Him for who He is. Come on, church, let's not be constrained in our affection this morning.